Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and we're talking about everything you need to know about buying and selling stocks and saving for retirement with our guest, Martha Klatt. Martha is a financial advisor with Carlson Advisors. It's a Ameriprise private wealth advisory practice in Toma, Wisconsin. She's also a managing partner of the company, and her areas of focus include investment management, retirement planning strategies, women's financial strategies, and a whole lot more. As we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. Do you feel confident with your retirement saving plan? Do you have a plan to save for retirement? What about investing in the stock market? Waiting for your call. Give us a call, 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Martha Klatt, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you for having me as your guest.
I tell you what, given your background, I think we've got a lot of things to talk about. Let's take the stock market just to begin with. It had some fluctuations in gains and losses. I went to your site. I think in the first half of this year, the gains were primarily coming from some of the tech stocks. But what's the volatility or what's causing it?
Yeah, the tech stocks have been driving the market. They've been kind of sending it up. There's a lot of interest in artificial intelligence, which is some of the areas that people are interested in. Some of the driving forces in the market volatility are just basically, you know, people not knowing what's going on. It's an election year that has a little bit of an impact on it, not a impact that's going to remain. You know, just what's going on with the wars and the debt and everything. The market is actually forward thinking, so it looks ahead. But with people, and you know, you see the market and things happen and you don't understand what's happening, and that makes people uneasy.
Yeah, that and that leads to fluctuations up and down.
Right.
Here I already have a couple of questions. What's the difference between stocks, bonds, and mutual funds? Email here.
Well, stocks are something that an individual company, you buy a stock in an individual company. A bond is usually where a company or in a municipality or something like that is looking to borrow money. So they issue a bond, you buy the bond that gives the person that issued it money to do research, expand, whatever. And then they pay you a dividend and some interest to own that bond. And then mutual funds, I like to describe those as baskets of different products. So you can buy a mutual fund that has all stocks, or you can buy a mutual fund that has a mixture of stocks and bonds, or you can buy one that has all bonds. So if there's a, you know, they all work together, but they are different types of products.
Yeah. And typically, well, I shouldn't say typically, more often than not, do people choose to invest in maybe a broader range so you've got a little of everything in there?
I think people are probably more familiar with mutual funds, just because a lot of retirement plans use those, because you can take a smaller amount of money and be more diversified, you know, by just buying one product. But a lot of people also like to, you know what they own, and if they like to do that, then they usually will buy individual stocks.
And if you look at the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ, I think there are more than 6,000 different stock options out there.
And yeah, so, there's a lot of products and a lot of different ways that you can invest.
How do you go about picking, or how should you approach picking stocks if you're doing that?
Well, what I do is, you know, I really have to get to know my client. I have to, before I'm going to invest their money, I want to know, you know, kind of what their goals are, what they're looking to do. What's the end game? You know, what do they want to do with this money? Then that gives me a good idea of what kind of product I can go into. I also take a look at, you know, how comfortable are they with the stock market? You know, there's some stocks that can be a little bit more volatile, or there's some stocks that don't grow a lot but pay a dividend. So it's really important, because we certainly don't want to invest anybody's money and have them not be able to sleep at night because they're worried about, you know, the market.
That's for sure. Well, any advisors that I've used, most say, don't worry about a sudden drop or a sudden increase if you're in the market. And you've maybe bought the market, just stay with the ups and the downs. And over time, the ups, the market will rise.
Right. You know, there's so many things that can impact short term. You know, just all of a sudden, a lot of people selling, or, you know, something happens in the, you know, the United States or overseas or something that can make the market a little nervous. So we try to make sure that people really don't react emotionally, even though, you know, all of us, even myself, you know, you see your portfolio go down and your heart kind of clutches and you're like, oh no, you know, that's not what I want. But it's really difficult to time the market. So you want to keep in mind, any time that you're thinking about making a transaction to buy or sell, again, go back to, you know, what's my goal for this money? What's my long-term objective here? And try to stay within that plan that you put forth, and only, you know, make the trades or something if it's a reason, because it will get you to your end game the way you want to, not because the market's up or down today and I should, you know, my heart's telling me I should probably do something. That's usually the wrong time to do something.
Peter and Nina says he has $20,000 in a savings account. He'd like to put it in something that has a better return. Thinking about doing this online, is that safe?
I think you, with anything, with any time you do any type of you know, business with anything, you have to do your research. So you have to check out, you know, the company that you're going to work with. You can go, you know, ask people for referrals, how, you know, if they've had good experience with that. As far as advisors, you can go to FINRA and do a broker check, which will tell an investor if that person has any complaints or if there's anything out there that they should know about. But it is really important to understand the company that you're going to work with, understand how the process works, what the fees are going to be, and, you know, clearly, you know, what you have to do as opposed to what the firm is going to do.
Richard in Two Rivers has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, it's too late for me because I've been through two divorces. And I lost my retirement. I lost a house or two. So what recommendations, because especially some states are worse than others, and Wisconsin doesn't favor the man as much as it does the woman, that's my opinion. And what recommendations, if any, you can help other people that ended up in my position that shouldn't, for working their whole life?
So how to protect yourself from losing all your money during a divorce, I guess, is the question.
Wow, good question. You know, I would say the important thing during the divorce is that you work with those subject matter experts, that you meet with your financial, if you don't have a financial advisor, it would be, you know, probably smart to get a financial advisor, and then also get an advisor that will work with, you know, your lawyer and your accountant. You know, every situation is different. So, you know, what you would want to do is have that team of support people working in your best interest to come out with the, you know, the best interest, best outcome that we can based on, you know, what is expected of you, what you legally have to do, and, you know, kind of what you want to do. But there's no one answer. And as far as, you know, being too late, I wouldn't say it's too late. I would say, you know, always invest in yourself. You know, you always want to try to pay yourself, even if it's just a little bit. You'd be surprised how fast just a little bit of money will add up.
Yeah, it's we talk about that. You know, there's different stages in your life as you go along. I mean, you hopefully you start early.
That's the best. You know, that would be the best way, is if you can start as early as possible. Some people teach their kids right away to start, you know, as they get any money, babysitting money, birthday money, that type of thing. They'll teach them, you know, that you're going to save some, you're going to spend some, you're going to donate some, and then you're going to invest some. You know, ideally, that's the best practice, because then by the time they get to a point where they're going to be actually earning a paycheck, they already have that ingrained that this is just what I do with my paycheck. But you do want to try to, you know, you think of it as paying yourself. You know, you want to take care of yourself, because that's going to give you options in the future.
And what happens when I guess it's never too late, but if you're, let's say you're 50 years old and you haven't invested, so you're maybe 10, you're probably 12 to 15 years out from retirement. What about that end?
Yeah, when you get to that point, like you said, it is never too late. Mm-hmm. It's just that sometimes when you start later like that, you may have to adjust your goals or your timeline. It all comes down to, you know, where is that roadmap going to take you? And we do a lot of financial planning that provides that kind of GPS for people, that allows them to look at their short-term goals and their long-term goals and work towards the things they have to do to get there. And if you start later in life, you know, unfortunately, that sometimes means that you either have to adjust those goals, you might have to work longer, or you might have to try and save more at one time, where if you're younger, you can start with just saving, you know, a little bit. And over the years, that's going to work for you. When you start later, you don't have as much working for you, so you have to maybe save more at the time, or look at what you're trying to do and kind of adjust it to make it work.
Our guest today, Martha Klatt, financial advisor with Carlson Advisors in Toma, Wisconsin, talking about investing and investing for retirement with Martha. Questions for her, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@WPR.org. Give a call or send an email. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at your finances and retiring and investing for retirement with our guest today, Martha Klatt, financial advisor with Carlson Advisors in Toma, Wisconsin. Great to have her with us. Questions, give a call at 800-642-1234 or email to talk@WPR.org. Tom emailed to ask, what are annuities? Explain annuities. And if you're in one, how do you get out of it?
So annuities are insurance products, and there are all different kinds of insurance products. You have your, you know, your different insurances, your life insurance, your car insurance, all of those types of things. But annuities are a life insurance product that can invest your money. And like I said, there's every annuity is kind of different. You have to really look at the prospectus and find out what it is. Some annuities will they will invest in the market. Some will provide an income stream. Some are just investment products where, you know, you're just basically growing the annuity, and at some point in time, you know, it would be part of your estate. Other annuities you contribute to, and then they give you a certain amount of income down the road based on kind of the cash value in the account. So I would just say if you're using annuities, you know, just make sure you understand the product, understand what it's going to do for you, because like I said, some will provide income, some do not. To get out of them, I would say that you want to talk to either your financial advisor or your insurance, you know, the person that sold you the annuity. I guess you want to look at why you're leaving, you know, why you want to get out of the annuity. You also want to check and see if there's any surrender fees. Annuities sometimes require that you keep the money in there for so many years, and then every year that surrender fee will go down. So you really want to be conscious before you do anything of what that surrender fee is.
So I imagine there are some portfolios that they might have 401ks, they might have IRAs and annuities, all of them. And there's some that exist, as you were talking about, just on their own. What's the best way to create an investment portfolio?
You know, it's fine. It's really smart to be diversified, so it's not unusual for people to have different products. And it's, you know, it is common for people to have, say, a 401k plan or some type of work retirement plan, and then also maybe be saving for their kids for college, or have a Roth account, something like that. I would say you want to, again, understand what your outcome is, what you're trying to, you know, achieve, and then also diversify and buy quality is my most important advice, is just to make sure you know what your own.
And maybe you could tell, you mentioned Roth IRAs, maybe talk about the difference between a Roth IRA and a traditional one, and maybe why one would be better than the other.
So the difference in your IRAs are, your Roth IRA is a retirement account that you put your money in after you pay taxes. And then there's some rules that go along with a Roth IRA, like you need to keep it in there 2 years, and or you, if you withdraw it, there's some penalties. But basically the premise of a Roth is that if you put that money in there and leave it until retirement, then all your gains or all the dividends that you get or the capital gains that you might get in that account are tax-free. Then everything in your Roth, when you withdraw that, you do not have to pay state and federal income tax on it or capital gains. If you have just a regular IRA, you're putting that money in before it's taxed, so that when you draw that out, it counts as earned income for you on your income tax, and then you have to pay state and federal taxes on it.
So on the face of it, it sounds like if you've got your choice, a Roth IRA would be better if you're not going to have to pay taxes on it.
Yeah, you just look at, you know, kind of look at your cash flow is, you know, do you need that tax deductible now? Or, you know, can you take it? Would you rather have it later in life? And, you know, with the environment that we live in right now, you know, I don't see taxes going down in the near future. So, you know, that would make sense to, you know, go ahead and, you know, put your money into a Roth, because you're paying the taxes now, and then everything you earn on it, you don't have to pay taxes.
Yeah. And what percentage, you may have mentioned it and I might have just missed it, but what percentage of your money can you put into a Roth IRA?
So a Roth IRA, every year the IRS will tell you how much you can put in. This year, if you're under 50, it's $7,000. And I believe if you're over 50, you can put in a little bit more. I believe it's 8,000, but don't quote me on that. I'll have to check. But every year you just have to check and see with your advisor or with the IRS and see what their limit is. Now with a Roth, there also are some income levels. So depending on how much you earn, you may not be eligible to contribute to a Roth. So there's some information that you have to find out before you would do that.
Mm-hmm. And what percentage of savings should you consider investing?
You know, I think that's different for every person. I think you want to, you know, you certainly don't want to make it a cash flow issue. So, I mean, if you can't afford to pay your bills and everything like that, you have to take that into consideration. But I do think if you can, you always want to do, you want to do something. There's no magic number of, you know, any type of percentage or anything like that. It's very individualized. But if you think about it, the more you do, you know, the more you do sooner, the better it's, you know, it's going to work for you longer. I always suggest, especially with my younger clients, to do something and then look at it as, you know, when you get that bonus or that raise, then bump up the percentage that you're doing, because you're not used to having that money anyway. So, you know, take a little bit of that and pay it to yourself, but just try to keep increasing that over time.
What talk a little bit about 401ks, options to have when it comes to your 401k. Is at what age should people stop contributing maybe to their 401ks as well?
Well, I think if you're working with an employer that has a 401k plan, you certainly want to take an interest in it and find out about it. And, you know, most of the time you want to be contributing to it, because there often is a company match. So if you contribute to the plan, you know, the company may match some of the contributions. So if you don't participate, you kind of leave some money on the table and a benefit that's there for you. In a 401k, nowadays 401ks, you can do your contributions often either, you know, pre-tax or in the Roth component. So that's a nice benefit. And you know, again, how long should you contribute to it? It's kind of that whole, you know, kind of what you're trying to achieve. You certainly want to keep contributing something, at least the match, if you can, to get that company match. And then, you know, when you, that's where it comes into play, where it's really helpful if you're working with an advisor and doing a financial plan, because you can really map out, you know, kind of, if I want to, you know, do this at, you know, a certain age, I have to save this much and I have to do these things. And that can really help you plot that, you know, path to get there. But you certainly want to keep that balance. You don't want to make contributing to any type of, to anything, basically, where, you know, you can't afford to, you know, pay your bills or anything like that.
Yeah, you need to be paying your bills, that's for sure, and including credit card, because the credit card, I make it a point to never run a balance on my credit cards, because the interest rates on that are, you're just losing money if you do that.
Yeah, if you just pay the minimum on your credit cards, it's really difficult to to ever get that credit card paid off. So, I mean, there is good debt and bad debt. You know, there are times when you do want to take on some loans or have a little bit of debt, but you want to be really conscious of how much that's costing you and how long you're going to be paying that.
Yeah, that's for sure. Martha Klatt, our guest today, financial advisor. Give a call with your questions. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@WPR.org. It's kind of interesting to me that you, one of your areas of focus include women's financial strategies. Talk about that and how that may be different from men's financial strategies.
Yeah. Well, I think women are totally able and knowledgeable in the investment world, but culturally, sometimes, you know, it's a case of where it's changing. But in the past, sometimes women have been more taking care of everybody else as opposed to them, where men will be more likely to, you know, participate in their 401k plans or, you know, put money in savings or something like that. Women will be, you know, putting their kids through different activities or that type of thing. They tend not to take care of themselves first. And then I think the other thing is, you know, sometimes men and women just think differently. So the way that men would choose to invest is different from the way that women might choose to invest. And it's not a right or wrong type of thing. It's just we do things differently. You know, you might have somebody that says, you know, I see this product all the time and I'm always using it. So, you know, I thought maybe I want to buy some of that.
Sure.
And, you know, otherwise, you know, other people, you know, might see something that's pretty flashy and think, oh, I got to get on that because that's exciting. So it's just a matter of kind of different ways we think and different ways then we react to the, what we're doing. And sometimes in the past, and that, like I said, it's changing a lot because, you know, kind of our roles and everything are changing. But, you know, sometimes some women can be more cautious or more conservative. And so maybe they are. So that's where it helps to work with an advisor and everything to make sure that you're taking on the right amount of risk for the time horizon that you have. And the same thing holds true for men. But there's just that little bit of difference sometimes where women sometimes will be a little bit more cautious.
Yeah, yeah. Don in Madison has a comment for us. Don, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. And I just want to say that in the late 1970s, I was a new state employee, state of Wisconsin, and just out of grad school, I had no money at all, of course. But I was convinced to start depositing in a deferred compensation account, and it has turned out to be absolutely wonderful. So I'd encourage anybody starting out, even if you don't have much of a cash flow, do that, because I started with $10 per paycheck deposited and wish I would have done 100 if I could have afford it. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Don, thank you for calling. Comment on that, Martha?
Yeah, I think Don is exactly right. That's why I tell people to, you know, always try to do something. You know, it's not so important the amount that you're doing, just that you're taking that first step and doing something to prepare yourself for the future. And anything you do, you know, is going to just give you options down the road. And you know, I like to talk to my clients about, you know, kind of thinking about it in like three buckets of money. You know, you could do some in the Roth where, you know, you don't pay any taxes when you take it out. Some in the IRA where, or the 401k plan where the employer's contributions will be taxed when you take it out. And then you may have savings or checking or, you know, an investment account that's not related to retirement at all. And if you're doing some of that diversification with your funds, that's just going to give you more options down the road. It may allow you to retire early. It may allow you to take that dream vacation you've always wanted. It just is kind of setting you up for success. And it also is setting you up to be able to deal with life events as they happen.
Don, thanks again for calling. Wendy in Madison, we'll go to you. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I'm just wondering what strategies, you'd recommend to determine how much you need for retirement.
Okay, so what we do is, I do a financial plan for my clients where we really take a look at where we are now. We talk about what the short-term goals are, what the long-term goals are, and factor in, you know, kind of what they're making now, how much they can save. And then from there, I wish I could say you do this strategy, but I can't because it's so individualized. But we're able to usually come up with a plan of action that, the client can, do this much or save this much in a savings account or put this much in their 401k plan. And go forward that way. And then in doing the financial plan with my clients, then we revisit that on at least an annual basis where it's like, is this still important to you? Is this still our goal? Are we meeting this goal? Do we have to adjust our priorities or what we're doing? So I know that's kind of not an answer to your question, but it is very individualized. And I would just say, if you're wondering that, it would be really important to try to find, if you're not working with an advisor, to, maybe find an advisor that can give you that guidance.
And just talking about finding an advisor, I guess you could ask friends, but what are the ways to find a financial advisor for you?
Well, I think asking friends, talking to people that work with advisors and finding out, advisors that they like, that they feel are trustworthy, that they're, knowledgeable on what they're doing. If you get a name, like I said, you can always go to the FINRA broker check site, and that will tell you kind of, what the history of that advisor is, if there's any complaints. And I would also say to do your research. In this day of technology, you can go on and Google. Most advisors have websites that'll give you a good idea of, kind of who they are, the company they work with, if they have any staff or a team. But you do want to, I think the most important thing, and don't hesitate to, set up a phone call or a meeting with an advisor and go meet with them, because I think it's important that you find the right person. You have to work with somebody that you're comfortable with, that you trust, and that you feel comfortable to ask questions. If you're working with somebody that you think, if I ask this question, I'll feel dumb or something like that, that's not the right person. You have to work with somebody that's going to collaborate with you, that's going to be a partner with you and make those decisions together.
Email from Brian. He wants to do some improvements on his home. Should he look into a second mortgage or should he take money out of his investment accounts?
So if one of my clients came in and asked that, what I would do would be to, kind of look at their total financial picture, take a look at the interest that they're going to pay on the loan, and take a look at the interest that they're, what they're maybe making on their investment account, and, other things that would maybe pertain to their particular life. And then with the client, make a decision on, what is the best option. It's hard to say. Some people don't like debt. So the thought of taking out a second mortgage would, be one of those things that they'd be really uncomfortable with. some people think, you know, if I'm making more in my investment account than I would be paying on my loan, that possibly that would be the right option. So there's really no right or wrong answer. It's more, again, kind of what you're comfortable with and what makes sense for your financial plan.
Yeah. Bob in Brookfield emailed to ask if you could discuss U.S. government-issued I-bonds and how the interest rate that they pay is determined.
You know, I don't do a lot of I-bonds that because you buy those right from the government. So it's not something that we go out there and buy. So I could get back to you with some information on that, but I don't really have all the details on it.
Yeah, and somebody else wonders, what would you tell someone who came to you and said they wanted to invest in real estate?
You know, like anything else, you know, you can take a look. Again, you have to do your homework. You have to understand, you know, what company you're investing in. Take a look at their financials. You know, do they have pretty good financials? Is the company in debt or that type of thing? There's a lot of different types of products that you can use to invest in real estate. And sometimes within some of your mutual funds or your portfolios, you may have a small allocation in a lot of different sectors. You may own a lot of different things. So you just want to make sure you know what you own.
Yeah, that makes very good sense. Wanted to turn to saving for children or for kids through college and saving for retirement at the same time. What advice do you have there?
Well, I think you really want to balance that. Sometimes our instinct as parents is to, you know, we got to take care of our kids and we've got to, you know, open up an education account or some type of savings account for our kids to, you know, help them in the future. But you really do have to take care of yourself. And then if you can, you also want to take care of the kids. So you want to balance that out. And the reason I say that is because, you know, when you hit retirement age and want to retire, or if life happens as you get older, you don't have as many options at that point in time, where for a child, if you're starting a savings account or an education account, you know, anything is probably going to help, but down the road, they have a longer timeline of being able to save for that type of thing than you might for retirement. So, you know, I keep saying that, but you kind of look at that time horizon, you know, where you are in life and your cash flow. But I would always suggest that you always try to, you know, keep taking care of yourself. And then in addition, you know, allocate, you know, funds to other things that you want to do. So, you know, if one of your goals is to help your child pay for education down the road, then, you know, you certainly want to try to do that. But you want to do it in kind of a realistic way that, you know, you're kind of not taking it away from you or your retirement or your ability to retire to provide them education. You want to try to do both if you can, or to time it so that, you know, for this many years, I'm going to contribute this much to, you know, whatever product, and then, you know, in that time frame, then I'm going to, you know, kind of my focus is going to change to this. I mean, you can do all kinds of different things, but you do want to, you know, kind of take care of yourself too.
Yeah, for sure. Somebody else was just asking now in an email, do you recommend the Edvest 529 college savings plan?
I don't have any specific recommendations. There's a lot of good products out there. When looking at education funds, I would say, you know, talk to an advisor. There's differences in education funds. Some of them, you know, pay for different things. Some states have certain education funds that the state will give sometimes a tax credit for. But there's a lot of different, and there's a lot of different ways that you can save for education for kids. So it kind of goes again to kind of what your lifestyle is and what the kids are going to do.
Amen to that. Our guest today, Martha Klatt, financial advisor with Carlson Advisors in Tomah, Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at saving for retirement and other investment strategies with our guest, Martha Klatt from Carlson Advisors in Tomah, Wisconsin. Great to have her along. Questions, give a call at 800-642-1234 or email to talk at WPR.org. Got a lot of good emails over the course of the show. I would just mention in passing that when my daughter was born at about the same time, I came into sort of from a death, $15,000. And I talked to my financial advisor about putting it into a 529 account. And she said, I've got one for you that'll ought to double every 5 or 6 years. And so I put it all in, and it did. And she wound up with a lot of money. That more than enough to cover her college education. So it was quite a relief to have that money when the 18 years later came and it was time for her to go on to college.
And I know sometimes parents or grandparents will question, to contribute to a 529, what if they don't go to school or that type of thing? And if you're in a 529, you can always change the beneficiary to other kids, or they can use it for apprenticeships on, supervisory courses they may take. It's not just for young kids and, going to college. But just recently, they've changed the rules, too, on 529s that if the kids don't use the total amount for education, now they can use a certain amount of it can be rolled into a Roth. You have to roll it in over a few years because you have to meet the guidelines of the Roth contributions. But that's a very nice feature that they've added to the 529. So now if people say, well, what if they don't use all their money for education, it's a wonderful product that they can be now saving also for their retirement or for that it could go into a Roth account, which would be beneficial down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Kathy in Viroqua has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Larry. I'm wondering if your guest could talk about socially responsible investments. I had heard that term some years ago, and I was wondering what the current if that's something to consider still.
Yeah, that's very definitely a client preference. If I have a client that, wants to invest, but there's certain companies or certain types of things that they just don't believe in, or, kind of go against what they want to do, then we certainly, try to accommodate that. And there is, there's a lot of, when we do research what we're going to invest our clients in, we are able to look and see, kind of what, are they military? Do they, use tobacco or that type of thing are some of the common ones that, people will look at. And we're able to structure a portfolio, if that's the client's wishes, with those types of investments. So it is out there. I think certain people want that. And, as an advisor, you want to accommodate that. So we do have different products that would address that.
Mm-hmm. There you go, Kathy. Thank you. Linda in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Linda.
Hi, good afternoon. Hey, great show again, Larry, as usual. Question here. I came in late to the program, and I know you were talking about Roth IRAs. Can you also do a SEP Roth IRA and then also a traditional at the same time?
You have to be careful. If you're doing, you know, if you're doing an IRA and a Roth, you can only contribute up to that $7,000. So you can only, you know, if you put $4,000 in a Roth, you can only put $3,000 in an IRA. Now, if you're in some type of retirement employer retirement program, you can oftentimes still be doing a Roth or an IRA. But again, there are some restrictions, some wage guidelines that, you know, we have to be conscious of to make sure that, you know, if you're making a certain amount, you may not be able to do it. So that would be a good question, you know, a reason to maybe seek out somebody if you're not working with somebody to have them, you know, go over that with you. But it is possible to save in different types of accounts.
Does, well, thank you, Linda, for calling. Gil has a question. How much would it cost to hire a financial planner?
It varies from, you know, I think from business to business. Oftentimes, there's different ways that I would say people charge fees. Sometimes you have a product fee. Sometimes there's a management fee and and oftentimes in brokerage accounts, they'll have what they call a commission. Again, it's a question when you meet with somebody that you're thinking about investing your money with that you want to have that conversation. Just exactly what is the cost? You know, how do you get paid? You know, where does that money go? And, you know, how does that relate in comparison to the product you're going to put me in? I mean, the expectation always is, you know, my client should make more than whatever they're paying me most of the time. You know, you do have sometimes really down markets where there might be a blimp or something in that. But for the most part, you want to understand what fees you're paying. And an advisor should be, you know, relatively transparent on that. They should be willing to tell you exactly what they're going to charge. And it varies from what services you provide. You know, sometimes you're not providing, you're just doing maybe one thing, and other times you may be doing multiple type of things for a client. So, you know, that will make the price vary a little bit.
Yeah, but you should be able to say, okay, I'm for every $1,000 I invest, how many dollars, given this, am I going to be paying you for your services, for example?
Right. That's part of our conversation when we meet with prospects for sure. You know, it's kind of like, okay, this type of service will cost you this, this type of service will cost you that. But then once they are clients, we still have that conversation. We still, you know, go over what, you know, what it is costing and are they still comfortable with that? And if we're looking to do something different, you know, what's that going to cost and how is that different from what they're currently doing? So it very definitely is a conversation you should have and you should know what you're paying.
Well, Martha, it's been a pleasure talking with you today. Thank you so much for spending time with us. I had a few more questions, but we're out of time. So there you go. Thank you. Thank you very much, Martha, for being with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And let me know if you have any questions. And I have a website you can go to if you want to find information.
So. And the website is?
If you just Google Martha Klatt at Ameriprise, you'll go right to it.
Martha Klatt, financial advisor from Carlson Advisors in Toma, Wisconsin, our guest today. Great to have her with us. And great to have you with us as well. And I'm grateful for the team of people we've got. Clara Neipert and Joel Patnott, our producers, our technical directors, Jeff Robbins and Lee Rayburn. Our executive director is Jill Nadeau. Tomorrow on the show, Garden Talk, Neil DeBole returns to help you with your native gardening questions, and then we'll talk about the importance of soil quality. In the meantime, stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.